Well, California and 45 other states require some form of ballot auditing, but only a handful do risk-limiting audits. It's a process which actually requires fewer ballots to be sampled. For more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Philip Stark, professor and associate dean of mathematical and physical sciences at UC Berkeley. Dr. Stark, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How does the risk-limiting auditing process work? What exactly is this?
Well, it's a way of figuring out whether doing a full manual count of the ballots would show that somebody else won other than the person who was reported to win. It does it by taking a random sample of the ballots and inspecting them manually. Depending on the margin and whether there is much error in the tabulation, it can be extremely efficient. But it's designed to require a full hand count. I would show that somebody else won.
All right. So, and this only requires a limited number of ballots. I saw an interesting analogy you did with tasting soup. Can you explain that?
You dropped out for a second. I saw the analogy with tasting soup.
Yes.
Yeah. People sometimes have trouble understanding why you can learn something about a very large collection of ballots from just a relatively small sample. And it's much like how you can tell whether soup is too salty by just tasting a tablespoon, regardless of how big the pot of soup is. The key is that you have to stir the soup up thoroughly before you take out the tablespoon. That amounts to a random sample of soup. The same thing works for ballots. You can look at relatively small number of ballots and learn about a very large collection, provided you take a sample at random.
All right. And where is this process being used right now?
That's a good question. I don't know what jurisdictions are planning to do some kind of pilot audit after the current election. California has a law authorizing the use of risk-limiting audits instead of the current statutory audit this year. So there may be some jurisdictions within some counties within jurisdiction within California doing it. It's required by law now in Colorado and Rhode Island. There are some other states that have laws that either authorize or require risk-limiting audits, but I'm not sure what's going to happen this time around.
Which kinds of voting discrepancies will this process not catch?
It won't catch errors in the marking of the paper. So, for example, if voters are using a ballot marking device that produces a printed paper output but isn't a hand-marked paper ballot, then problems with that device that result in the voters' intention not showing up on the paper would not be caught by this. It by itself doesn't catch problems in the chain of custody of the paper either. It relies on other procedures to ensure that the ballots that are available for the audit really are, do reflect everybody's correct vote.
Some people talk about in the future, everything's going to be online and no more paper. Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
That's a really terrible idea. It turns out that paper has really ideal security properties for elections. It's tangible. You can keep track of it. You can read it without technology. It's difficult to do wholesale attacks on paper ballots, whereas it's very easy to do wholesale attacks on digitally recorded votes. Digitally recorded votes can disappear or be altered without any trace whatsoever.
So
paper turns out to be good.
So if I put you in charge, king of all voting in the United States, what would the process look like?
It would be hand-marked paper ballots for the vast majority of voters, with some kind of accessible option for voters who require assistive technology in order to cast a vote independently, mark and cast a ballot independently. Those ballots would then be scanned using optical scan systems, much like many jurisdictions do now. There would be secure chain of custody and audits to make sure that the chain of custody wasn't violated. And then there'd be risk-limiting audits of the reported results to make sure that the tabulation went correctly.
All right. Professor, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Dr. Philip Stark, professor and associate dean at UC Berkeley.